going to turn again to that passage of Scripture that we read earlier, to Proverbs chapter number 4. And the title of our message this morning is The Christian Pathway. And the text of Scripture that we want to look at and deal with that subject is verse number 18 of Proverbs chapter 4. That's really our text for today in dealing with the Christian pathway. Proverbs 4, verse 18 says, "And the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." And with that verse before us, let us just unite in a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we still our hearts before Thee. We thank Thee for the Word of God, the truth of God. Bless Thy truth to our hearts today. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. May we see Christ afresh in all His glory and majesty and the blessing of Thy Word. Use it, Lord, to the strengthening of the saints of God. Use Thy Word to the drawing of sinners to Christ. And Lord, use Thy Word to the glorifying of Thy great and wondrous name. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike, and have Thy way in every heart and every life, as Thou alone would see our individual need. We ask it for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, and 7, you have Christ there preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is really all about how the Christian is to live in this world, in this scene of time. And in Matthew chapter 7, in the verses 13 and 14, Christ says there, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And with these words there in those two verses in Matthew chapter 7, Christ here reminds us that there are just two ways, there are only two ways for man to live in this world, in this scene of time. One way is what he calls there the broad way, and the other way is what he also calls the narrow way. And the broad way, it speaks of the way of the ungodly, the way of those who are unsaved, those who are unconverted. It is indeed the way of the unrepentant sinner, the Christ rejecter, the one who has refused Christ as Savior. And Christ warns us there that such a way leads to hell. It leads to destruction. And we are reminded of that awful destruction for the unrepentant sinner in verse 19 of our Bible reading this morning, where it says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." My, the unrepentant sinner is a person who lives in darkness. They are a person who will die in the darkness of their sin. And they are a person who will be ushered out, the Bible says, into that place of outer darkness, of everlasting darkness, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Yes, such a way it leads to hell. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Yes, there is the broad way, and what an awful way that is for any person to be on that way, leading to everlasting destruction. But then there is also the narrow way that Christ speaks of there in Matthew's Gospel. And that really speaks of the way of the godly, the way of the person who is saved, the way of the person who is a born-again Christian, the way of a person who has repented of their sin, who has turned by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and has embraced Christ and called upon Christ to be their own and personal Savior. And the Bible would show us that such a way is a way that leads to heaven and glory itself. Indeed, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Indeed, the Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life." And by this narrow way is what Solomon, the son of David, is talking about in our text this morning in verse 18 here of Proverbs chapter 4. And he says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." What a statement that is there from Solomon as he writes with the inspired pen of God. Such words there tell us how God is one who will not fail his people. Such words demonstrate to us the great fact that the Lord will not leave his people. He will not leave his people destitute. In other words, God is one who in his saving grace keeps his people. Yes, God's saving grace is a sure pathway to everlasting life and everlasting glory in heaven itself, as we're singing about earlier on there in our opening hymn. When you think of the words of Christ in John 10, verse 28, of those who are on the narrow way to heaven, he says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What a blessed way is the way of the Christian. The Christian pathway is truly blessed, the narrow way. And today, as we look then at these words here at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, it is the pathway of the Christian that I want us to look at. And there's one here in the meeting this morning, and you're not yet on that pathway. I pray today that even in grace, God will draw you to that pathway by putting your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. You'll notice, first of all, with me here, the beauty of the Christian pathway. Look at your text. It says, but the way of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And there you see that the Christian pathway, it is really likened unto the beauty of the shining of the sun. Solomon says, the path of the just as is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It is described and likened unto the beauty of the sun in its full shine. Now you think of sunrise. My sunrise is something that is beautiful to see. If you see sunrise there in a lovely summer's morning, it's something that is beautiful to behold. Sunrise is something that dispels the darkness of the night that has gone before. Its rays, they tinge the clouds with light. Its rays, they gild the summits of the woods and the mountains with light, and with a splendor radiant from the light of the sun. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we are told, truly light is sweet, and a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. Well, here in Proverbs 4, verse 18, the Christian pathway, you see, is likened unto the rising of the sun in all its beauty and all its splendor and majesty. It says, but the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Dear people, today let me say this, the Bible shows us and tells us how there is a glorious beauty. Indeed, a mysterious beauty, we can say, in the salvation of all God's redeemed people. Think of what the psalmist says in Psalm 149, verse 4. He says there, the Lord will beautify the meek with salvation. And there the word of God speaks of the beauty of salvation in the life of the saints of God. The book of the Song of Solomon is a wonderful book. It's a very intimate book speaking of the blessed relationship that Christ have with his people. And the illustration is used of the relationship between the husband and the spouse. And in Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 4, the Lord there is speaking of his own people. And this is what he says. He says, thou art beautiful, O my love. As a husband beholds the beauty of his wife, Christ there speaks of his own bride, his own church. And he says, thou art beautiful, O my love. Oh, as he looks upon his people, he sees a wondrous beauty, a glorious beauty. Indeed, a mysterious beauty that the world sees not and that the devil wars against. Yes, we can say the Christian pathway is beautiful. Why? Because it is the way of the just. In fact, that's the very word that is used in our text here in Proverbs 4, verse 18. It says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It's very interesting to note that very same word, just, is the word that was used to describe Noah. In the early chapters of Genesis, and the Bible tells us how Noah's life was marked by a beautiful testimony. before the ungodly world, before the flood fell upon the world. Turn back with me, please, in your Bible to Genesis chapter number 6, verses 8 and 9. And here you'll see the beauty of Noah's testimony before the flood came upon the world. Genesis chapter 6. Look at the context. Look at verse 7, verses 8 and 9. Notice the contrast between Noah's testimony and the testimony of the ungodly. It says there in verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the earth, for it repented me that I had made him." God was grieved at the testimony of ungodly men. But look at now the testimony of Noah. Notice the difference. Notice the contrast. Notice the beauty of his testimony. Verse 8 says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God." Noah's life way back before the flood ever came, in the early days of this world after it was created by God, Noah's life was marked by the beautiful testimony of God's so great salvation. He was a man who was just in the sight of God. What does that word just mean? What does it entail? What is bound up in this word just? This word just really describes those whose sins are all forgiven by the precious blood of Christ. That's the mark of the one who is just in the sight of God. All their sins are forgiven, blotted out before God through the precious blood of Christ, who was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Also, the just are those whose souls are covered and arrayed with the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, the sinless, flawless Son of God. The psalmist David was a just man, a man who knew his sins forgiven. In Psalm 103, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." David could rejoice in the forgiveness of all of his sins. Likewise, too, Isaiah was a just man, and he too could rejoice in the covering, the robe of Christ's perfect righteousness that arrayed his soul. For in Isaiah 61, he says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom taketh of himself of ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels." And there Isaiah was rejoicing in the robe of Christ's perfect righteousness. This is the beauty of salvation. This is the glorious beauty of those that are just before God, that are on the narrow way to heaven, the narrow way to glory. Dear child of God, in our meeting house this morning, can I say this is your glorious beauty as well? Never lose sight of that. Never allow the devil of the world to rob you of that view in your heart and soul. Yes, believer, the day you repented of your sins and trusted Christ and in his atoning sacrifice for your salvation and called upon him to save you, what did God do with your sins through Christ? God forgave all your sins. He says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake." And not only did he forgive all your sins, he robed you. He gave to you the perfect righteousness of Christ. The perfect righteousness of Christ was imputed to your soul, to your account before God. For Christ is none other than Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness. And believer, as God looks upon you today, he no longer sees your sin, because your sin has been blotted out through the blood of Christ. Rather, he views you as one whose sins have all been forgiven by the precious blood of Christ. And he views you as one who is covered, who is arrayed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And what a glorious dress that is of the sinless, spotless, flawless Lamb of God. One of the great hymns that we love to sing, written by, I think it's Mr. Doddridge, "O Happy Day That Fixed My Soul," the hymn writer talks there about the great transaction being done in the life of the believer. Well, child of God, the great transaction has taken place in your life, and a transaction it is that is all due to the wondrous, amazing grace of God and Christ in your life. Indeed, the Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." You think, dear believer, of the words of the hymn writer. It's really the testimony of every one of us who are saved by the grace of God in this meeting house today. "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds and these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head." What a glorious dress we have in Christ. Dear unsaved friend in our meeting today, let me say this: such blessings, yes, can be your portion now, even today, in this very meeting house. If you, yes, personally repent of your sin before God, and personally trust in Christ for salvation, and ask Him into your heart to be your Savior. You see, the Bible promises, it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The moment you trust Christ as Savior, God will pardon all your sins. Yes, He will array you in the perfect righteousness of Christ. This is what God offers to you freely today in the gospel. You cannot deal with your sins in your own strength. There's nothing you and I can do that can take away our sins. It's vain, it's empty, it's hopeless. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing that you and I can do whatsoever to give us peace with God, or reconciliation with God, or acceptance with God apart from Christ. You see, the Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Tell me, friend, in our meeting, have you laid hold upon Christ? Is He your Savior? Are your sins today covered, blotted out? Not by the waters of baptism or confirmation or good works or religiosity, but are your sins blotted out, covered by the blood of Christ? Only the blood of Christ can do helpless and hopeless sinners good. Are you covered today in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me"? If not, I urge you, I plead with you today in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ to get right with God and to trust Christ and accept Him today as your own and personal Savior. Yes, the beauty of salvation means forgiveness. It means the covering of Christ's perfect righteousness. But we can say further that the beauty of salvation also means a life that is transformed by the power of God. Our text says, "But the path of the just as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." You think of a meandering river. Let us take that as an illustration. As it meanders across the land, across the countryside, round corner, over round hills and mountains, what does it do? It shapes the landscape. It fashions the landscape. And so likewise we can say in the gospel, the river of God's grace is a glorious river that transforms lives, that shapes lives, that changes lives for good and for the glory of God. You see, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul could say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. His life was changed by the grace of God. Turn with me in your Bible, please, over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Here you have a wonderful account of how grace changes lives and grace transforms lives, and the conversion of the man of Gadara. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and look at verse 27 of the chapter. And there you see what his life was like in his unsaved state. Luke chapter 8, verse 27, it says of Christ, "And when he went forth to the land," that's the land of Gadara, "there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes. neither abode in any house, but in tombs. And this man's state was desperate. It was tragic. He was under the control of the demons of hell. His life was wrecked and ruined, but he met with Christ. Christ saved him, and Christ transformed his life. Go down to verse 35 of the same chapter. It says, "Then went they out to see what was done." That's the people of Gadara. "And came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed." Notice it, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. There was a glorious change that had taken place in his life. It was the power of Christ, the transforming power of the gospel, the amazing grace, the wondrous grace of God. Oh, believer in Christ, in our meeting today, thank the Lord today for his transforming grace in your life. That's something you and I who are saved should thank the Lord for daily in our lives, that the Lord has saved us. Think of what the Lord has delivered us from. Think of what the Lord has kept us from. We should never, ever lose sight of that in our Christian life. Think of the words of Charles Wesley. He says, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night, thine eye diffused a quickening way. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light, my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." There was a great change that had taken place in his life. Dear believer in Christ, yes, you and I can say today, because of Christ, by the grace of God, we are not what we used to be. Thank God for that grace that changes, that grace that transforms lives. Unsaved friend, by trusting Christ as Savior, you too can receive power, the power that breaks the chains of inbred sin, power that gives you grace to live to the glory of God. Think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." As the hymn writer rightly says, there is victory in Jesus, victory in Christ, for the soul that will lay hold upon Christ and embrace Him and trust Him as Savior. Yes, here we see the beauty of the Christian pathway. Not only the beauty of the Christian pathway, but notice secondly here, as we move on in our message this morning, notice the influence of the Christian pathway. It says again in verse 18, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." You think of the effect of the sun when it shines. What does it do? Causes the crops and the fruits in the field and the countryside to grow and to ripen. Yes, the sunshine does us all good, I believe, physically in our own body and on our own frame. The sun is something else that dispels the darkness of the night, allowing us to work, allowing us to walk without stumbling. Think of the words of Christ in John 11. He says, "If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world." And in like fashion, the sunshine of the Christian's pathway does much good. The sunshine of the Christian pathway brings much blessing. Matthew 5, verse 14, God's people there are called the light of the world. There you read about the testimony of God's people in the Scriptures and how their testimony can be used of God to lead others to Christ for salvation. Yes, God in His sovereign plan and purpose, He uses His people to spread the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 3, in the verse number 1 there, Peter is addressing Christian wives who are married to husbands that are unsaved. And this is what he says to them. He says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives." And there Peter was seeking to encourage Christian wives and their partners were unsaved to go on living the Christian life. And by their testimony, they could be the means of pointing their loved one to Christ. Dear believer, never underestimate the power of your testimony. Don't underestimate that power. Yes, you and I, we may be nobodies as far as this world is concerned. But nonetheless, God can use us to lead others to Christ for salvation. And He can use us to lead others in the ways of God. Yes, God uses in His Word, the Bible says, weak earthen clay vessels. Why? So that no flesh may glory in His presence. Think of the hymn writer living in the sunshine, shining in thy might, going on thy mission, pointing men to thee. That was his testimony. And believer, this is how God can use your testimony as well in your daily life and walk with God. You remember the words of Paul to the believers in Philippi. He said that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Christian, God has saved you to shine as a light for Him in this dark world. So by your testimony, others can be spoken to and led to Christ. I'm sure you're all familiar with the name of John Bunyan. He was a tinker from Bedford. He was a wild, reckless young man, very ungodly, lived a very ungodly life. But it was through him listening to a number of women talking, Christian ladies talking about the gospel and the message that they heard in the Lord's Day previous in the house of God. He was spoken to and he himself was challenged about his need of salvation, and God used that to bring him to saving faith and trust in Christ for salvation. And I'm sure if I were to ask you personally, child of God, in this meeting house today, what was it that God used to speak to you about salvation, your need of Christ? Yes, you may speak of a meeting or a preacher, but I'm sure many of you also would speak of so-and-so and this man and this woman and maybe that person. They witnessed to me. They spoke to me. They sowed a little word in the gospel before me. And God in His providential grace and mercy used that as a link in the chain to bring me to Christ. Bring me to salvation. Also, believer, as well as leading souls to Christ, God can use you to have a preserving influence for God on this earth. Matthew 5, verse 13, it says, ye are the salt of the earth. And just as salt preserves food, so the godly testimony of a believer has a preserving effect, a preserving influence in this world for good. You think of the testimony of John Calvin, the great Protestant reformer. Think of the testimony of Oliver Cromwell, the great Lord Protector of England. Think of the testimony of William Wilberforce, the MP for Hull. Yes, these men were not sinlessly perfect, no, but by the grace of God in their day and generation, they left a tremendous testimony and legacy for good, not only in their own generation, but for generations to come. Why? Because they lived for God as the salt of the earth in their day and generation. Such is the effect of the saints of God and their testimony. Child of God, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're to show forth the praises of God in this dark world. Christian, the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Believer, you and I are to stand up for God, for His Word, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. In this age in which we live, we're to do what is right. And by such a life, believer, you'll be as a preservative in society that restrains others from sin and evil. By such a life, you'll be a blessing to others. In the book of Job, chapter 22, you read of the effect of the testimony of those who are acquainted with God, those who know the Lord. And this is what it says in verse 29 and 30 of that book. It says, when men are cast down, thou shalt say there is a lifting up. And he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent. It is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. That all speaks of God's blessing upon the man, the woman, the young person, indeed the boy or girl, who's acquainted with God through Christ, who knows Christ, who's seeking to live for Christ. and to honor Christ. Believer, always remember this, that the Bible says, none of us liveth unto himself. Yes, we see the blessing of the Christian pathway, the beauty of the Christian pathway. Notice one final thought here. Notice the progress of the Christian pathway. Verse 18, our text says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect. And you think of the sun. From sunrise to sunset, there is nothing that can deter its course. From sunrise to sunset, what does the sun do? From east to west, it pursues its course. Sometimes, yes, maybe its splendor may be intercepted by clouds or blotted out by clouds. Sometimes it can even be partially or even maybe fully eclipsed, but it's still moving on towards sunset. Yet still the sun moves on until it sets in a perfect beauty as a part of God's creation. What does that teach us and tell us about the progress of the Christian pathway? My yes, it's the same for the Christian and the Christian life and the Christian pathway. Yes, despite maybe perhaps being interrupted by clouds of doubt or maybe besetting sins, despite being eclipsed by trials and losses along life's journey, the end of the Christian pathway, what is it? It is perfection. It is everlasting life in heaven. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul. He says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And Paul's prize there was eternal life, eternal glory and heaven itself. Dear child of God, can I say this is your prize also that is before you. Believer, in your Christian life, you are daily progressing, step by step, day by day, moment by moment, progressing towards what? Eternal life, eternal glory in heaven. The psalmist says to the Lord, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And Christian, the Lord is continually guiding you on to the glory of heaven. Speaking of God's people, Matthew Henry said, those who are acquainted with God in Christ on earth are already in the suburbs of life eternal. You're going on a journey, going to a city. You come to the suburbs of that city, the outskirts of that city. You're nearly there, nearly at the end of your destination. And so the believer is already on the suburbs of heaven, the suburbs of life eternal. Think of the words of the hymn writer. We're marching to Zion, beautiful Zion, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. What a pathway to be on today. Marching to heaven. The Word of God says in Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Believer, God will perfect the work of salvation in your life. Make no mistake about that. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 17, it speaks there to the believer and says, until the day break and the shadows flee away. Dear Christian in heaven, all the shadows of this life will be gone. And they'll all be gone forever. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him, that is Christ, as he is. Believer, when you get to heaven, you will be made perfect, like unto Christ. Then in heaven your sanctification will be perfect. It will be complete forever. Turn with me in your Bible over to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21 and the opening verse, or Revelation, sorry, 21. Revelation chapter 21, the last book of the New Testament, Revelation 21. And it's really all about heaven, the hope of glory for the believer. Look at verse number 4 in particular there of Revelation chapter 21. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Child of God in heaven, there will be no more suffering, no more pain, no more sickness, no more disease, no more separations, no more goodbyes. In verse 27 of that very same chapter, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of an abomination or make of a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. What does that mean to you and I as believers? It means this, dear Christian, that in heaven, never ever again will you and I ever be grieving over sin, over iniquity, either in us or around us. We'll never again grieve over sin because there'll be no sin in heaven. The Bible says in Philippians 1, verse 23, that says that in heaven you and I, it says, shall be with Christ, which is far better. Dear believer, this is the prospect that awaits you and I on the Christian pathway. What a glorious prospect we have. What a prize there is before us. As you go out into the week that lies before you, dear believer, whatever comes your way in the week, in your workplace, in your home, your family, neighborhood where you live, you remember the words of this text, that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Praise God, when you're saved today, you're marching to Zion, marching to heaven. If you're not saved today, oh, would you come? Come to Christ. Trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Start out for heaven. Wouldn't it be an awful tragedy to know about heaven, yet never be in heaven? I believe that's the tragedy of tragedies. Let it not be your tragedy. Come now to Christ by faith and accept Him as your own and personal Savior.